in which no deep self is operating, in a pseudoscience, a kind of a false magic, because there's no deep self, the next level comes into play. And what's the next level? The next level is the level of the mask. So what comes into play in pseudoscience is the mask, the role. And whatever was the strongest egotistical role before in that person's life cycle, that's what will come into play. Not necessarily the role that they were playing at the moment when that happened, but the strongest fragmented role, the strongest mask in their makeup will come into play, and they'll become, in this pseudo-scientific, phony magical way, their pet image of themselves. That's the ego in the derisive sense. That's the ego. Not the ego in the basic structure of the universe, but the ego of my favorite mask. And because it's a regressive energy, because one is no longer differentiating, but one is falling into a kind of a false integration. Regression is a false integration. It has all the properties of integration, but it's not real integration. It's a disintegration of differentiation. It only seems like integration. It's actually a disintegration of differentiation. To be specific about it, the term that philosophically is used for that procedure, although used with pride instead of being shocked that it's happening, is the philosophic term deconstruction. One deconstructs. And then one is very good at deconstructing, was really happy to tear it all down, and especially to deconstruct other people. I mean, that's what's really good for them, is to be deconstructed. The very essence of punk, right? Nothing should work the way it's been working. So, Tolman, finishing up here, and this is the end. For limited certain purposes, we may find it useful to represent the provisional outcome of such an enterprise in the form of a propositional system, as in a logic. But this will remain an abstraction, a tool. The system so arrived at is not the primary reality. It's like the notion of a geometrical point. It will be a fiction or an artifact of our own making, and we will know that and remember that. It's only a tool that we are now picking up to use, and we can put the tool down when we're finished. Notice the craft of being human. You can use any tool that you want. Any tool that you need. You can even make tools. But know when it's time propitiously to put that tool down. See? In all our subsequent inquiries, therefore, our starting point will be the living, historically developing, intellectual enterprises within which concepts find their collective use. And our results must be referred back for validation to our experience in those historical enterprises. Now, these living, historically developing intellectual enterprises is a long, convoluted phrase for human beings. Now, I compared, in the Thursday lecture, I compared Tolman's book to Heidegger's book from 1926, Sein und Zeit, Being and Time, in that both were unfinishable. This was to be the first of three volumes. And the second volume was to be entitled The Individual Grasp and Development of Concepts. And he couldn't do it. Why? Because he started out with a static diagram of what he wanted to do, just like Heidegger in Sein und Zeit. He gave a masterful a philosophic description on an abstract level of Dasein, of being there, human being in its ultimate abstracted form. But when it came time to write the next sections of Sein und Zeit, putting that diagram in motion, the motion disintegrated the coherency of the diagram. It's like a photograph that's a beautiful photograph, and when you move it, it catches fire and burns up. It's just like that. And Tolman did the very same thing. It's a mistake that someone who doesn't practice makes. It's a wonderful snapshot. Very, very useful, but it is only a photograph. A true representation of what he is talking about would not be a book on human understanding, but would be an educational process that actually works. Not a book about it, but a process that actually does generate human understanding. So what would a book, a true book on human understanding be? It'd be an educational program. So hopefully, where geniuses like Heidegger and Tolman have failed, Br'er Rabbits like me will be a little more successful, because we've not depended on brilliant minds so much, but because we've been delinquent all our lives and have tried to figure out how it really happens so that we could live with it. One great virtue of being a Br'er Rabbit is that you want to keep moving on down the trail, and you don't want to just have the pride of accomplishing the answer, but you want to get back to the briar patch. It's a life-saving grace to not to want to have the solution, but to want to be free and live, and just getting the solution out of the way so that you can go back and live. I guess we should stop there. The hexagram thrown today was following, number 17, with moving lines in the first, second, and sixth. So if you're looking for the hexagram, you'll have following as the hexagram. And in the following, number 17 will be in the third place. In the second place will be the hexagram before it, which is 16, which is enthusiasm. And the hexagram in the third place following it will be number 18, which is decay, work on what has been spoiled. So the sequence runs enthusiasm, following, decay, and the moving lines change and become a hexagram 6. So that in the fifth place in our five-point cycle, you'll have hexagram number 6, which is conflict. And then the obverse of this would be in the first hexagram would be soon. Soon over Ken, which is 53. So the first hexagram would be 53, which is a development, gradual progress. So the sequence would run development, enthusiasm, following, decay, conflict. So that the five-phase energy cycle for this runs in that kind of a sequence. It's not a bitter pill, don't worry. It just characterizes the situation. Next week, bring your Bhagavad Gitas. And please read up to the 36th sloka in chapter 6. Thank you.